Here we go. All right, our scripture for tonight is John 15:7, which reads, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." And I love that passage. You could talk about it forever because it's all about knowing him. And one of the main ways we know him, besides spending time with him, is being in his word and letting that marinate in our hearts. And then the outcome is we know his heart. And that knowing him, knowing his heart, is the platform from which we always want to pray. And I really had fun the last few days. I've been looking at the life of Moses because to me he's the best intercessor in the Bible. So let's go look at Moses for a few minutes. Let's look at Exodus 3 and kind of see how he started out and how he progressed and why this man, a lot of people would say, is such a good intercessor. Early on, Moses has this encounter with God where he literally had to turn aside because of what God was doing. And he has this experience at the burning bush. And this is where God really introduces himself and begins to unfold who he is to Moses. And that knowing of God and who he is and his heart when God calls to him from the bush and says, "Moses, Moses," and he says, "Here I am." And then God starts to say, "Here's who I am. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. All right, remember that, because if you ever go back and study Moses, he's the first person, I believe, that God says, "I talk to him face to face." He progresses from that, "I'm going to come a little bit close," to the most intimate of relationships with the Lord. And I love it, because we're going to look at a passage in here in a little bit where he actually argues with God a few times. That's how much he knew the character of God. Well, let's just look at it. It's Exodus 34:6-7. 10 through 15. I didn't read the whole thing. I wish I weren't holding this microphone. I love this exchange in here. 34. No, the first one, we'll go over them again. The first one was Exodus 3, 10 through 15. The second one is Exodus 34, 6 and 7. No, that's not right. That's a lie. That's the next one. I mean, the one I was thinking about is going to be the next one. Okay, here's this one where God just really starts to reveal himself more and more to Moses, if I can get there. Okay. This is that scene that I would love to live something like this out, where God says, "I'm not going to let you see my face, because no man can live and see my face." And yet later he says, "I'm going to talk to you face to face." So see? Okay, God says, "I will make my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." See what he's doing here? He's leading Moses into an understanding of who he is and what his heart is, so that's what Moses will end up praying. And on down the road, when we get into Numbers, I mean, Moses and Aaron literally stand in between the Lord's hand of wrath. Remember, this was the old covenant, not the new. So everything that goes on in these passages is an inferior covenant to what we're living under. We have this side of the cross, we have the blood of Jesus, and we have the Holy Spirit without measure. However much we want of him, we can have. God starts revealing himself here, and he tells Moses, if you look over at 34:6, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and to the children's children. So he's proclaiming, here's who you're coming to. Here's who I am. I'm merciful. I'm gracious. I'm looking for ways to extend my grace into the lives of my people. I forgive sin. I'm good. I am the truth. But I'm just also. And so Moses is soaking up all this. Who is this being that I'm in this relationship with? And it's creating an intercessor because he knows all those qualities of God. And he knows how to go and listen to him and hear God's heart. And that's what he prays in the midst of the circumstances he finds himself in. I was sitting yesterday morning just kind of praying over what to share tonight. And I got an email all of a sudden from Bill Bagby, who just sent this little, here's what God spoke to me a couple mornings ago, is what Bill said, and this is what he sent. Much of what I show you during your times of listening is for the very purpose of deepening your prayer life, since how you see people and situations greatly affects the way you pray. Knowing my heart before you pray is critical. Tragically, much of what my people pray is misguided because it is based on the world's input, not mine. Then the deception is compounded because they think they are co-laboring with me when in reality they are giving voice to the plans and purposes of the enemy. If you will learn to quiet your heart and listen until you get my perspective on the problem, and then pray as my spirit leads, you will be amazed at how faith will rise in your heart and how quickly your prayers will be answered. The timing to get that from Bill was like, wow, Lord. This is what it's all about, being quiet and being with him. It's not about a certain style. I think a lot of times, like some of us have talked about, Mike is so much fun to pray with. But he's got one style, and I love the analogy he used Sunday of Nikki. How many of y'all know Nikki Kreutzmann? She just talks like this, and she is this teeny. She's probably 4'10 and weighs 60 pounds. I don't know, she's tiny. And she just prays. I mean, it's just heaven is coming to earth, but it's the exact opposite of Mike, who's proclaiming and passionate, and Nikki's just quietly, Lord, would you just do this? And she's at his feet, and she's heard his heart, and she prays one way, Mike prays another. And see, I used to sit and listen to Nikki and go, I wish I could pray that way. But you know what? We all have to find our own voice in prayer, and that's my prayer for each one of us at Hope. We find our voice, our rhythm, and our bent. There are books on intercession that list the 14 different types of intercessors, and find out what you are and just pray and let it morph into how you're comfortable with the Lord in your prayer life. And odds are you're going to hit several of the different types of prayer styles. So that's just a little aside. I appreciated what Bill sent because there have been some times in my life God was real gracious to me, and on down the road he showed me that really wasn't my target that you were hitting in prayer. You really hadn't waited and heard my voice, and I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that anymore. I do believe if we've heard his heart and we're praying it with faith, Jesus says you don't have because you don't ask. Ask. And ask believing, because if you ask according to my word, you have what you ask for. So that's our target as prayer people and intercessors. Let's go look at Numbers 16. This is like one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And if I were ever going to make a movie, this would be the movie I would make. It's shortly after Korah's rebellion. He and some of his crew are kind of tired of Moses and maybe a little bit jealous because they're not getting to be the leaders. And they confront Moses and Aaron and say, how come you get to lord it over us? How come you get to be the boss? And Moses is pretty humble about it, but God shows up and says, you know what? I appointed him. He's my man to lead my people. And they end up getting swallowed up by the earth. I know you know the story. That's just the prequel to my favorite part. My favorite part starts in Numbers 16:41. So after these guys who've confronted Moses and Aaron get swallowed up by the earth along with their family and friends, all the people show up and look at Moses and Aaron and go, "You killed God's people." So see their perspective, how skewed it was. They're still operating in this negative, critical place. And so the Lord just basically shows up, and he does. They turn around and look at the tabernacle, which is a tent of meeting, and prayer really is a meeting situation. And the glory of the Lord's all over the tabernacle. And God says, "Moses, Aaron, get out of the way. I'm gonna fry them all," basically. He says, "I'm going to consume them in a moment." And Moses and Aaron fall on their faces. And Moses says to Aaron, "Take a censer, put fire in it." Think of yourself as a vessel. Each one of you is a vessel that the Lord wants to use. "Put incense on it," that's prayer, "and take it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them, for wrath has gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun." Then Aaron took it as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the assembly. And already the plague had begun among the people. So Aaron put in the incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living until the plague was stopped. That gets me so psyched. I could just pray all day long. If I'm on that verse, it motivates me. I get to sit in my closet at home. I get to drive in my car, and I get to pray. If I'm praying for Bridget, something that can totally change her life. If I've got a word of knowledge from God and I pray it, I'm partnering with pulling heaven into her life. And if you're sitting at home, Jennifer's sitting at home praying for our president, our leaders in Washington, she's helping to turn the tide of what's going on in this nation. And I think sometimes because we don't get instant answers, we don't realize we're still being part of the answer that God is sending forth. I just love this scripture. I hope it gets you pumped to pray, because I have this mental image. I'm sure it's the guy who played Aaron in the Ten Commandments to Charlton Heston's Moses. Remember him? He was tall and skinny. He looked grim all the time. His cheeks were sunk in, and he had long gray hair and a long beard, and he'd say, "Moses," you know, "Moses." Anyway, I have this picture of him in all these robes just leaping in between God and the people to try to save their lives. Is that not a picture of intercession? I love this scripture. I would love somebody to make a movie. We need Mel Gibson to turn around in life and make this into a movie of this, because it can be so dramatic and fun. That's the way I see prayer. It's really a bridge between what's going on here that's askew from God's heart and what's going on in heaven. We get to be the bridge. So I just challenge each one of us to be the bridge for those things God puts in your heart so that he can get into the situation. He gave me a vision once. I was like, "Lord, I really want to see this, what it looks like in the spirit. And I wish I could draw or paint." I saw me standing on this very level plateau, and it was soft, but not my kind of landscape, reddish brown dirt, just kind of sitting there, not rocky, just flat. And on the other side of this chasm was this lush green pasture, and that's just kind of an ideal place to be for me. And in between bridging was one of those rope bridges with the planks, you know what I'm talking about? Only it was made of crystal. And every one of the ropes, you know how they do the ropes that go horizontally, but then they do up and down the ones that connect the bottom with kind of the handrail ropes at the top. Every bit of the bridge was crystal, even the planks. And I think that just speaks of, in intercession, the purity that needs to be there in our hearts. And that's how we really hear and have God's heart. And that creates a bridge that just brings heaven to earth. It's that open door for heaven to come to earth. So anyway, that's my picture of prayer that God used to help get me motivated. And then about 16 years ago, he did something that really helped me understand that prayer is substance. It's not, for somebody who struggles with it, it's not intangible. It's not a bunch of words that are thrown up there and maybe they hit the mark and maybe they don't. You can pray and never know that there's a transaction taking place. But he gave me living proof. My dad was about to have surgery on a clot in his leg. And my dad didn't know the Lord till he died. And this was a few years before he died. And my dad and I were really, really close. And he was a fabulous dad. And he was lying on the gurney, and they were about to roll him in. And I'd taken the kids down to Kaufman, where he lived, to just be there for the surgery. And he was a little groggy, but he was still awake. And I thought, I'm going for it, Lord. And so I just put my hand right here, and I started to pray. He's lying on this gurney. Put my hand on the top of his head, and I was praying silently. And all of a sudden, he goes, "Wah!" His whole body just shakes, and his arms and legs are flailing. And the nurse looks over, and he goes, "What was that? Electricity just went through my body." I didn't feel a thing. I didn't feel one thing. If Dad hadn't reacted, I wouldn't have known he'd been touched by the Lord. That's how prayer, more often than not, is for us. We have to believe that when I say, you know, "Lord, would you heal Karen's diabetes?" That prayer is actually, there's one more piece of the incense going into the bowl until God tips it. And we get that answer, which we're going to get. I firmly believe that. So anyway, those are just some of the ways that that I see prayer. And I want to encourage you to ask God, what's an encounter with you, an experience with you that would ignite, not that I don't think y'all are all awesome in prayer, but if you're praying for somebody for whom it's not a passion, ask God, give them encounters with you that make it real. Make this real, that they really are filling up the bowls of incense in heaven, and the time's going to come that you turn over that bowl and we get the answer. I literally feel like every time I go and pray for Steve, that some of the cells and tissue in his body start lining up with kingdom instead of what's going on here on earth. And so I just pray we'd be people of faith. I feel like Hope has gotten off to such a good start. I love that pre-service prayer quite often is mostly guys. That blesses my heart. I'm sure it really blesses Mike's heart. Yeah, it's quite often. It's guys, you know. And if not, if the ladies aren't outnumbered, they're the equal numbers. So that's neat because we have some praying men in this house, and that's really important in I'm glad we've gotten off to that kind of start because I think it'll keep that ball rolling, and we just need to pray over that. That's really one of the things is we pray over our pillars, to pray that it would be equal. We would all be knowing the heart of the Father and eager to have time with him and eager to partner with him. It's amazing the things that he'll show you and tell you. And one of the biggest things I think people, I've had people tell me, "You spend hours a day in prayer." And I'm like, "No, I don't. Right now, I really don't have time with my job and my house and my kids." But you know what? That doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be hours. It's, "Okay, Lord, I'm just having fun sitting here with you." And then he'll drop things in your heart to pray. And I just am fascinated. I can just sit here and pray for something going on in a whole nother part of the world that I'll probably never visit. I can't imagine how that doesn't get somebody just pumped and psyched. But anyway, I'll probably never go to New Orleans like the parrots. So anyway, we're all wired differently. We need all of our giftings. But anyway, I hope that encourages you just to, I don't know, just ask God for new and fresh things that he wants to do in your prayer life that kind of keep you stirred up and motivated. Maybe you are. Maybe you're just as on fire as can be. Then impart it to somebody else. Just ask God. Who here isn't psyched about praying and go lay hands on them and pray a sweet little blessing, but also at the same time, just silently be praying. Lord, just help them to fall in love with that relationship with you and then wanting to partner with you in that way. Because I don't remember who said it, but I think it's true. God doesn't do anything apart from prayer. Was it Moody or, I don't know, Praying Hyde, one of those guys who said that. I love what Bill Johnson says. Prayer is the substance of heaven. You know, substance is something very tangible. It's not an esoterical, dreamy thought. It's a real, tangible thing in the spirit. They're, those words of God don't return void. I love Isaiah 43, if you want to look at that with me for a minute, where God says, put me in remembrance. Well, let me get to it. I'll mess it up. It's 43:26. Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. You know, he just invites us into that encounter with him. Whether we're wrestling because we don't understand something that's going on, if you've lost a loved one prematurely, that would be an incredibly hard thing to wrestle through. But God will show up and let you ask questions and meet you right where you are with his comfort and his love. He may not give you specific answers all the time that you're looking for, but he wants you to come. And now I don't remember that passage with Moses, but remember the passage where God says, okay, you go down and you lead these, your people you brought out of Egypt. And Moses goes, these are your people. And I'm going, neither one of them wants this group of people. They're so stubborn and stiff-necked. But I love that Moses had that kind of relationship with God that they just went back and forth. I really think Moses is where I'm going to be for a while. But since we're all ladies here right now, since our one guy bailed, I want to encourage you to go look at Axa. I avoided her tonight being my main theme, but does everybody know who Axa is? You have to know who Axa is. Caleb's daughter, Axa. Oh, it's a little tiny passage. It's in Joshua and Judges. And it's like, four verses, I think it's a total of seven where it really involves her. But Caleb had been given this land by God. He didn't have to go take it. It was given to him. They didn't have to draw lots for it like the other tribes did. And he got Hebron, which is very significant. And but there were still giants in the land. And there was one party had trouble getting the giants out of the land. So he says, all right, whomever goes and clears the giants out of the land, I'll give my daughter Axa. And he had sons, but he had this daughter. And so Othniel, the very first judge, clears out the land and gets Axa. And as she's leaving her father's house to go be with her husband and go to his home, she says to Othniel, wait a minute. We need to ask Dad. He's given us land. We need to go ask Dad for something else. So she gets off her donkey, a sign of honor, to her father and says, you've given me this land, now give me the upper and the lower springs. And without going into what I think that represents, she basically pulled something out of his heart, I think, that he already had to give to her, but she wasn't going to get it unless she asked for it. She knew it was hers, because what dad would give land with springs nearby and not give a child access to what was needed to make that land bountiful, beautiful. But he waited and had her come and pull that out of him. And he said, it's yours. Oh, God keeps unfolding. It's been 2.5 years. He's been unfolding that to me. I bet you guys have some obscure people in the Bible that you've enjoyed studying. You do know if you go study them, you get their characteristics. Got to work those traits into you. I want to be like Axa. I want to boldly go up to my dad and go, Karen needs to be healed, Dad. Would you do it? With faith, knowing he's going to do it. Who, name some other, besides David. David's real, you know, out there. Who? Yeah. Esther. Yeah, if I die, I die. But I'm going for it. as an intercessor. If I die, I die. Standing in the gap. She so stood in the gap. Who else? Anybody else? Somebody obscure. Think of somebody obscure. I like looking at the obscure people because I think I can relate to them. I don't really want to ever be known like Sarah Palin or Billy Graham or, you know, I don't care about being famous. I don't like microphones either. But and you're on the worship team. Who's somebody obscure? Think of somebody in the Bible that's hardly, like Exa, hardly ever talked about, but did something really valiant. Doesn't have to be a gal. Can be a guy. Philip?
He wasn't not a Was it Philip that he went up before the kings or whatever, and then, or was it Stephen? No, it was Stephen. Yeah, and he went up, and it was like the Spirit of God came on him, and his face shone like an angel. And then he quoted all of their history just like that, you know. And then what really touched me the most is at the very end, he's asking the Lord to forgive them, you know. And it's like, if I could ever get to that point where I could say, Lord, forgive these idiots that are doing wrong to me or around me, instead of, Lord, would you break their legs so they'll learn? So, yeah, that's
a good one. And who got converted shortly thereafter? Saul became Paul shortly thereafter, and he was the chief of guys. Just, you know, let's get rid of him. He's, you know, he hated him. Anybody else? Anybody got some obscure little person like Axa? God just put her on my heart like 2.5 years ago, and he's still showing me stuff. Go look at it. It's in Judges 15, Joshua 15, or Judges 1. It's told twice in Scripture, so that's important. Not everybody gets twice. Anybody else? Doesn't have to. Most of the ones I could think of when I sat and thought about this were in the Old Testament. I mean, there's always David who strengthened himself in the Lord. And to me, that meant he got aside and had quiet prayer time with God when he'd been out to battle and they came back and all the women and children had been stolen, all their belongings, the town had been burned. And his men were like, well, we're just going to kill you. And so he got aside with the Lord, and Scripture says strengthened himself in the Lord. What was on him got on his mighty men. Because look at the acts. I love, there's a whole book somebody wrote about Benaiah, however you say it, who chased a lion into a pit on a snowy day and killed him. So I should have given y'all some warning to look up obscure but heroic people. Job, yeah, he was quite an intercessor. And at the end, in Job, it says, and he was healed and restored when he prayed for his friends. So, good example of an intercessor. And someone who, he reminds me of Celia, because, you like to just enjoy God in his beauty and majesty, and God's gifted you, like with your photography, then to take that in a way that we can all enjoy what you're seeing. And, so anyway, I love how he contemplates. I love that scripture. And we only see the mere edges of his ways. I love that scripture too. So. Yeah.
Anna, she was a prophetess. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying.
Yep. She's one I think you could study for years, and they're like, what, 4 verses? If you will ask God, I promise you, this, I didn't come up with this, Graham Cook, I heard him talk about it, but I also heard Mary McLeod from Alaska challenge a group of ladies to just ask God, who's a lady in Scripture that you would want to speak to my heart about, you know, from her life to into my life. And at that time, this was probably 6 or so years ago, I felt like the Lord said, JL, you know who she is? She, when Deborah was judging with Barak, and Barak went out to battle and said, I'm not going without you. She was a prophetess, and I think maybe the only lady judge, I'm not sure. But anyway, Barak wouldn't go out against the enemy without her. And so Barak is, she's praying and prophesying that they're going to win, and they're winning. And the captain of the opposing army escapes as all his men are being slaughtered. And he has a relationship with this guy, even though he's the enemy of God's people. He has a relationship with this man who lives on the fringes of where the battle was, and he goes there. The guy's not home, but his wife's home, only she has a heart for the true God. And so he's like, we're losing the battle. I'm exhausted. He says, would you give me water and a place to rest? Would you hide me? And she says, sure. And so she makes a pallet for him, and he asks for water, but she gives him milk. And you think about how water more refreshes your body, where milk nourishes it. And what do you sometimes, like I do, I have hot chocolate if I can't go to sleep and I want something warm. Anyway, that's what I do. Anyway, she gives him milk. She tucks him up. He goes to sleep. And she takes a tent peg and drives it through his temple into the ground and kills him. And, yeah, pretty brave and courageous lady. I mean, I would have been going, God, I can't do that. The minute I put it there, he's going to wake up and turn around and kill me. But she drives this tent peg, and to me, that speaks of going after strongholds in our mind, that type of an anointing. Talk about a bold, bold lady. She was one. Ask God to show you. He may say, study Elijah or Esther or whomever. Elijah went all by himself against, was it 800 priests? And he said, not a problem. My God can handle these guys, and God did. So I just want to challenge you to do that. Ask God, who would you speak into my life through? What Bible character? And see if he doesn't take you on a fun journey and let him unpack that for you. Because he keeps doing that for me, and I'm having fun with it. And I think Moses next on my list. It may be a while. Well, I want us to pray a couple ways for each other, so I think we got a little bit of time left. Anybody else have a comment, a thought before we pray for a few minutes?
About the sun? Do I need the microphone?
Yeah, you need the microphone. Or not turned off?
Well, yeah, dude, something else might be here.
A few days ago, the Lord just, well, no, let me scratch that. I had this thought, and it was about the sun. And I was like, I asked Jason, I was like, how does the sun know not, I mean, I know God, but how does the sun know not to spit off fire and do bad things? And I was like, do you think that it's okay to pray for the sun? I mean, is would there be any need to pray for the sun? And he was like, well, if you feel it on your heart, you need to go ahead and do it. And so, well, you know, I didn't. And because I thought it was so ridiculous, you know. And so, like, 2 days later on CNN, they had this thing, because we have CNN on 24/7 at my work. They had this thing about that there was something going on with the sun that it's spitting off flames, and it's very possible that one of the flames could hit the satellite that affects our cell phones, which in itself is not a bad thing. But I think it was more like, okay, I saw that. I got in my car because it was right as I was leaving. I got in my car, and I said, you have my attention. And I started speaking to the sun. I was like, you know, the Lord God has told you your boundaries. You are to stay where you're supposed to go. You can't, you know, and I just started praying for the sun. But, and I was asking Celia, I was like, do we pray for things like that? I mean, if just random thoughts that come in your head. I mean, is everything that you think about, is it an opportunity for prayer? You know, whether it be the sun, whether it be the gravitational pull, whether it be, you know, the tree in our front yard, you know, whatever. My question is, I mean, do you just say, well, as ridiculous as this sounds, offer up a little prayer anyway? I mean, it can't hurt. Now that I've talked with you and now that I've thought about it, you know, I know it can't hurt. But that was just one of those, and I was like, I need to ask Nancy. And but anyway.
I do too, because I thought, you know, there were several prophetic people who have said in June that we may really have some issues like that. And yes, you have authority. Joshua prayed and the sun stood still. Remember? During battle? So yeah, I think you were right on. And I think I was told by somebody today that there's a volcano in Central America that's become really active. And I haven't heard the news since the weekend. But sure, pray over those things. Because I mean, hear God's heart. But he's not the God of death and destruction. And we're his kids. And he gave us authority over creation. So yeah, how many times have we prayed for the weather? I mean, we've done that at our office at work this spring. I don't know, 5 times. A couple of us just stopped and prayed because there were horrible storms coming through. And, yeah. So, I think you were right on. All right, well, I'm going to switch the mic off, and we're going to pray a minute, if that's okay.